This is a series on Mission of God, and today's topic is Jubilee, God's model of restoration. We're going to be talking about restoring things. There is a bad way to restore things. My family are quite good at this, i.e. at doing bad restorations. I think I've told you about the time when I lopped all the heads off the daffodils in my garden with the hedge cutter, and I sellotaped them back on because I was scared of Karina's reaction. Now, that is an example of a bad restoration. Another one, my dad, I trust he won't mind me saying this, my mum asked for a new lampshade, so he just went and painted the old one. His idea of restoration wasn't quite a good one, and neither is it God's one. Now, when you think of the word restore, I don't know what you think of. If you're an IT person, you might think of restoring your computer back to a previous date. You can do that. Or you might think about restoring a car. I've got a friend who restores old cars. And this is actually what Karina did. Well, that isn't the exact photograph, but I found an old chest of drawers in the dump, and I asked the dump man, "Can I have that, please?" He said yes. We took it home and we got it restored and painted nicely with a professional painter, new door drawer handles, and it's still in our house today. Some of you might know the Japanese art of kintsugi. Basically, if you break a pot, rather than throwing it away, and rather than just gluing it together, you use gold or gold lacquer to glue it back together. And after the pot is broken, it's more precious, more valuable than if it had never been broken at all. And that is like God. God does restoration like that. It's always better than what you once had. There's an old hymn, and I'll just quote one line from it. It says, the tribes of Adam lost their blessing, but in Christ they get more back. I'm not quoting it exactly because I've forgotten it, but it's always better once you come into Christ. Okay, so restoration in the Bible is primarily about you being reconnected with God, spiritually being restored into a relationship with God. It also covers lots of other things like restoring the land, restoring the years that the locusts have eaten, restoring, but it's mainly about you restored to God. And God's mission is to do that with people, with you and me, and with people we know, to restore us. But it goes a lot wider than that. It's not just about individuals, it's about the whole creation. You know, one day Christ is coming back and he's going to restore the whole creation. There's not going to be any more death and crying and suffering anymore when Christ returns. And God cares about an awful lot of things on this earth, which we're going to see in a minute. So, the year of Jubilee, just to explain if you don't know what it is, it was a year in the Hebrew calendar, and it was basically God's idea of restoration. It includes rest and release as well, which we're going to look at, but it all comes under this whole idea of restoring things. Now, you might be sitting there going, "So what? What do I want to hear about an ancient Jewish festival from 4,000 years ago?" Well, it speaks to us about the kind of things God cares about, God's heart. And it speaks about the kind of mission that he wants you and me to be involved with. And it is relevant, so hopefully you can keep one eye awake at least and pay attention, because it's important. Now, the year of Jubilee meant, first of all, rest. Okay, it was a year of rest. A special year of rest for the land, where they were not allowed to do sowing, farming, and harvesting. Now, can you just imagine that for a minute? You're a farmer, because most of them were. You're not allowed to farm. Do you think that's a bit crazy? You know, what are we going to eat? We're going to die. They weren't allowed to harvest. They weren't allowed to sow. Why? Well, it was to teach them to trust in God, that God can really take care of you, that God is sovereign, that the land belonged to God. It's God's land. Yeah, you're on it. I've given it to you, but it's God's land. Will you trust me? All they had to do was go each day and see what they could find and eat off it for a year. I don't know if that challenges you, but sometimes we worry, don't we, about a lot of stuff. I mean, I heard someone say to me once, he was brought up on worry. You know, brought up on worry. And God, though, is showing that these people that they really needed to trust him. And it's not all done by your own hand. And you will be in situations in life when you can't do anything about it. You can pray, but you've got to trust God. And they were being told, don't idolize your work, get some rest, and let the Lord provide. Now, the Jubilee then was a year where they weren't allowed to do anything in terms of farming. They had to trust God to feed them. But it came on the back of seven sets of other cycles of 7 years, and every time there was the seventh year, they weren't allowed to do any farming. So when they got to year 49, they'd already done it seven times, not allowed to do any work, got to take some time out, got to rest. I mean, can I just challenge you, do you ever go and have time out with God? Do you ever stay right? I'm terrible at this. Ask my wife. I'm awful. I'm like Atlas trying to keep the world up. And then the Lord says, you idiot. You idiot. I mean, how many of you ever just say, right, God, you don't need me to run the planet. I'm going to go and sit in a cabin and have a quiet day with you. I'm going to go on a retreat. I'm going to waste time with God. Have you ever wasted an hour with God? Go and waste some time with God. Just waste it. Sit there, staring into space. Be with God. God wants us to rest, and I'm talking to myself. And God drummed it into them seven times. After year 49, you've got to do it again. Stop doing it all yourself. And some scholars think that the year of Jubilee was actually the following year as well. I mean, there's debate over this. So, and if that's the case, then they had to go for 2 years without doing any farming, year 49 and year 50. Are you going to trust me, said God. This is what they said. I'll read this to you briefly. Earlier in Leviticus, this is about the normal every seventh year. The Lord said to Moses at Mount Sinai, speak to the Israelites, say to them, when you enter the land I'm going to give you, the land itself must observe a Sabbath to the Lord. For 6 years sow your fields, and for 6 years prune your vineyards and gather the crops. But in the seventh year, the land is to have a year of Sabbath rest. A Sabbath to the Lord. Do not sow your fields or prune your vineyards. Do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the grapes of your untended vines. The land is to have a year of rest. I mean, that made good sense agriculturally as well, apparently. It's good to let the land rest if you want to grow stuff. But God said, whatever the land yields during the Sabbath year will be food for you. And a lot of them didn't like it because they wanted to keep being busy. Then you come to the Jubilee year, which is after seven cycles of this, as was read by Anne, that was it. Count seven Sabbath years, seven times 7 years, so that the seventh Sabbath years amount to a period of 49 years. The 50th year shall be a Jubilee for you. Do not sow, do not reap, what grows of itself, or have your unintended vines. For it is a Jubilee to be holy, eat only what is taken directly from the fields. Okay? So you got that, yeah? God drummed it in over and over again. There's got to be times of rest. And in those times, you will be restored back into knowing your God. The year of Jubilee also, as well as rest, meant release. Release, okay? And did you know that the name Jubilee means a blast of the horn? A blast of the horn of liberty. It wasn't a silver trumpet. It was from an animal that had been sacrificed. A shofar, a ram's horn, which I think speaks of the fact that Jesus is going to be sacrificed for us. So it was part of a living animal, or was once a living animal. It wasn't a silver trumpet made of metal. And this is what it says about the year of release. Then sound the trumpet. Everywhere on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement, sound the trumpet throughout your land. Consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. Okay. Now, the Day of Atonement was the day when everyone had to repent and their sins were forgiven. All sins were forgiven on that day. So there's a connection between the Day of Forgiveness and the Day of being set free, released. It's always like that with God. But what was this about, this releasing? Well, many people, if they'd fallen on hard times, have had to sell themselves into slavery to pay off their debt. If you couldn't afford to pay off your debt, you went and served as a bond servant. But what happened on the year of Jubilee was, it was a year of release from all debt. All debts were cancelled, all types of bondage cancelled, all prisoners went free, all captives went free, all slaves were released without exception, all debts were forgiven. It was that powerful. And everyone could go home. If they'd been a slave in someone's house, they could go home back to their original family, back to their original possessions, and be welcomed by their family. And anyone who was on a labour contract, you had a labour contract, that's it, finished, you go home because you're not allowed to work in that year. A wonderful picture of release, God's heart, of forgiving all your debts and all your slaveries and getting you free. So that was the second part. And then the third part of the Jubilee meant restoration. And what I mean by that is you were restored to your land. If you'd had to sell your land off for debt, you know, you were fallen on hard times, you got into debt, you sold your land off to somebody. Even the Redeemer that we spoke about last week, if he came along and got your land, whatever happened to your land or your property, it was all restored to you. You got it back, without exception. And you could be restored to your own family. You could go home and see mummy and daddy and brother and sister, instead of staying working as a slave somewhere. Your heritage was restored. Your portion was restored. Okay, so that's the heart behind this. Okay, rest from labouring, release from slavery and bondage, and restoration to your original possessions, what God really wanted for you in the beginning. That's a picture here. So there you are, just a picture there of some people, couldn't find one of ancient Israelites. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each of you is to return to your family property and to your clan. In the year of Jubilee, everyone is to return to their own property. Amen. Okay, here's a question. Did the Israelites ever keep the Jubilee? Because, I mean, it's pretty extreme, isn't it? You've got to cancel all debts. Did they ever keep it? Well, I think they did at the start. And I think it fell into disuse. It fell out of fashion. Because kings like Solomon started to decide he wanted to own people's land. And other kings got interfering, like Ahab. If you remember the story, King Ahab stole a vineyard off a man called Naboth, had him killed, and it became a bit impossible to do. And then they went into exile with the Babylonians, so they didn't have their land anymore, they'd been kicked out. So it was difficult to do later, but in the beginning, I think it was practiced. Now here's a question. Why did God want the Jubilee? Why? Well, the first big reason is practical, economic, and social reasons. It was done to prevent poverty taking hold on a family for generation after generation after generation. You imagine if one family messes up, gets into debt, if there's never this cutting off point, then the sons and the daughters have to keep paying the debt, the grandchildren have to keep paying the debt. It's a never-ending spiral of debt and slavery and bondage. And God said, I want this Jubilee so that people know there's a cut-off point. They can go free. The oppressed can go free. And also it was to teach spiritual lessons about God. So on the one hand, God is saying, I want to protect the families from endless bondage. And on the other hand, he's saying, I want to teach them too that the land actually is my land. It's my land. You're going to do with it what I tell you. You're going to have to trust me because I'm not going to let you do any farming. And you're going to have to learn to forgive people. Because, you know, imagine you were being owed a debt by somebody and they were your slave and they were paying back your debt and then the Jubilee came. You've got to forgive them. You've got to lose your money. It's, oh, well, you can go home now. Only got back half what I wanted. You've got to forgive your people's debts. And that was another reason why God was wanting them to learn this tremendous day of Jubilee. So what can Jubilee teach us about doing God's mission today? Practically, can it help us in any way as in Yule in 2024? Well, I think the basic answer on one hand is we need to still minister to the whole range of people's needs. Practical needs, economic needs, social needs, justice. You know, God cared about people being slaves. God cared about people not having money, not being able to produce for themselves, of losing their land, of losing their dignity. He cared about the practical social and economic needs. Now, some people I've met tell me, if you're going to be a missionary or do mission, you must only tell the gospel to people. That's what they need. Tell them about heaven and hell and Jesus, and don't worry about meeting any of their practical needs because that doesn't really matter. Well, that's not the message of this Jubilee, is it? They had to help provide practically. So, can I just give a little list I wrote down? God really cares about economic, social, practical needs. Working for the poor and needy, helping people with money, like CAP, you know, Christians Against Poverty. Praying for bodily healing, feeding people, making them hot soup on a Wednesday, and bread. Cooking a meal for somebody when someone's ill, babysitting, driving them somewhere in the car, helping someone find a job, writing their CV, helping someone find a new car. Being involved with justice and going online and firing off these petitions. I think God really cares about social, economic, practical needs. And when they came out of Egypt, you have to remember, before God gave them all the spiritual Ten Commandments, he just fed them in the desert. I mean, I know he had to, but God cares. People do need the gospel, but first they might need a hot meal and a blanket. And not everyone has to do the preaching. You could be the person that provides the soup. You could be the person that gives the blanket. You could be the person that babysits or the person that cooks a meal or that drives. You don't have to be the one doing the evangelism, but someone else in the church should be able to help you and bring the gospel to somebody. I think we need the whole church with everyone's gifting on a wholehearted mission, meeting every need of people. But having said all that, we do need the gospel as well. We do need to bring in the gospel as well. If we only feed them and no one ever talks the gospel to them, then it's defective. It's not quite the picture here. Because in the Jubilee, yeah, God released them, God gave them back their land, gave them back their money, but he also taught them spiritual lessons about trusting him. He taught them about the land belonging to him. So we need the gospel as well. But not necessarily the first thing. But we must have the gospel. And that's why I love coffee drop-in. I love chat and tea, which we do, because we feed people on cake, on soup, and we also clobber them with... No, we tell them a bit about Jesus. We need both. Okay, that's pretty obvious and basic, isn't it? Now, Jubilee also points to the glorious gospel, which is our privilege to share as we participate today in God's mission. So I'm hoping now to excite you with some wonders of the gospel, which Jubilee points to. This is why we must share the gospel, even if it's not you, but your friend, or you bring them to a church where someone else can talk to them, or you bring them on Alpha where Nikki Gumbel can share the gospel with them. We've got to be sharing this gospel and not ashamed of it, because it's so wonderful, and Jubilee is a picture of that gospel. So here we go, just a few things. The first one is release, which we read about, and which was also Jesus spoke about in the synagogue in Nazareth. Release. Jesus said this. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom," or release, "for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." And when Jesus said that, I think he was thinking of the Jubilee, the year of the Lord's favour, the time of favour. So, when Jesus died upon the cross, Christ set free those who are slaves and prisoners of sin. The debt of sin that we owe to God was paid on the cross. Jesus died on our behalf. We're forgiven of that debt forever. We're no longer in bondage. We don't no longer owe anything to anyone in that regard. We're no longer slaves to sin. We have been freed by Christ. And that is why we need to tell the gospel to people, because people can be absolutely free of guilt, tormenting guilt, habits. They can have a clean slate. They can have a fresh start. But a lot of people think they can never get past whatever it was that they did. And the other thing it teaches us about release is you have to also release other people. You know, in the Jubilee, if someone owed you money and was working for you as a slave, and then the trumpet went, burp, oh, Jubilee, right, you had to let them go. And God is saying, I want you to forgive other people their debts to you. You know, Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, didn't he? He said, "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." Is there anyone you haven't forgiven? It's not easy, is it? Is there anyone that you think they owe you a debt? I'm not going to forgive that person. Well, the Jubilee teaches you had to let the people go. You had to let it go. God says, let it go. Rest. The gospel also is about rest, you know? Now, what do I mean by that? Well, when you come to Jesus, you get your sins forgiven, you can rest. You don't have to prove yourself to God anymore. You don't have to earn God's favour. You've been accepted. You've been forgiven. You can rest. I was once in Holland and we did communion, and in Holland they don't do it with the little cups. They stand around this huge like bucket of wine. It looks like blood. It does. It looks like blood. And it came round to me, and I was in this kind of striving mode, and I saw this big, well, it was a big chalice of what looked like blood. It was just wine. And it's just God spoke to me and said, it's not dependent on you. You can rest. I went, phew, what a relief. God wants you to rest. Come into that rest. And I don't know if you've realised that you don't need to earn anything with God. You just got to come in faith and say, Lord, I thank you for your sacrifice. This is the wonder of the gospel. And I want to get to know you, and I come at a place of rest. You know when God made Adam, the first thing Adam ever did, do you know what it was? He rested. Did you know that? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, whatever you think about the 6 days of creation, whether it's one literal day or longer, on day seven, what happened? God rested. Now, Adam was made on day six, whatever you think about that. And on day six, did God say, right, Adam, I made you, right, now get in that garden, get and grow some flowers, pull up the weeds or whatever it was. There weren't any weeds, but he didn't lift a finger. He did nothing. Adam was made, and then God said, right, come into my rest. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say God wants us to get to know him. He wants us to enjoy him. You know you can enjoy God. Wow, do you know that? You can enjoy time with your Father. You can enjoy God because he's forgiven you. You can rest. You say, oh, I'm going to enjoy you, Lord. I encourage you to try and enjoy God. Don't idolize your work and come into his rest of forgiveness. You're accepted. Now, Adam was made of dust, wasn't he? Adam was made of dust. The land was made of dust. Do you know what God said about the land? He said, the land is mine. God said, the land is mine. The dust is mine. Well, if you're made of dust, you come from the land. Sorry, we all do, our bodies. You're in the shape of a nice, lovely human being, but basically you're dust. Well, God is saying, you're mine. The land is mine and you're mine. That's what God is saying. God is saying, you belong to me. So he says to Adam, I made you, now come into my rest. Come and enjoy God. Get forgiven and know your God. And then this idea of restoration, which we will conclude with, because restoration is all of this put together. In the Jubilee, people not only rested and not only got released, they also returned to their original possessions. They went back to their original home, their original family. And what this is a picture of is we are called to go back to what God wanted for us in the beginning. You and me are called to go back to our original possessions, to our original inheritance, to why God made Hannah in the beginning. Why did God make you, Hannah? To be a wife to Matthew. No, not just that. He made you for himself, to know him. And God wants us to come back into what? Come home! Come home! You know, we sang it, didn't we? Weary, was it that song you picked? Weary wanderer, come home. Yeah? God says, come home. It's like the prodigal son. The prodigal son came to his senses one day and said, I've got to go back to my father. I'm going to come home. God is calling people here today to come home and come back. Come back to why I made you. Come and enjoy your God. And I love this old song. You probably don't know it, but it goes like this. I'm not going to sing it. I'll read it. It says, I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. By your grace, I will be yours. Lord, I'm coming home. God wants you to come home. Okay? Now, I'm going to finish with a quick story from a book that I like. It's called Acres of Diamonds. Does anyone know about this book? Blank looks. Written by a guy called Russell H. Conwell. Well, Acres of Diamonds is a story of a farmer in Africa who went wandering around and roaming everywhere looking for diamonds. He looked everywhere. He spent his whole life roaming and wandering looking for diamonds. And he came back to his farm, a depressed, disillusioned man, and sadly he actually killed himself. I mean, it's just a story. But after his death, they discovered that under his very feet, where he'd been, there was a big diamond mine under his farm. So the phrase was, there were diamonds under his feet, and he didn't know it. See, a lot of people, they try and go away from God, thinking, oh, God's boring, God's a killjoy, I'm going to look elsewhere for treasure. But the truth is, the treasure is where, it's God, in God. He's calling you to come back to himself, because that's where you'll find the diamonds under your feet. You don't need to go into the world looking around. The world will disappoint and eat you up and spit you out and chew you up and spit you out. Whereas God won't. Return to me, says the Lord. Malachi 3:7. Go back to God who loves you and wants to restore you. And if you already know him, this is the gospel we share with others. Right, let me pray. Lord, I've tried to paint a bit of your heart this morning. Thank you for your heart. Your heart, which is to bring people into rest, to bring people to enjoy you. Your heart is to release people from every guilt, bondage and slavery. Your heart is to restore them to their original moorings, their original possessions. And I thank you for this wonderful heart of God. Jesus on the cross, you made this all possible for everyone here. So I pray for everyone here that you'll bless them with a refreshed walk with you and just a sense of wonder of how wonderful you are. Jesus, you are our Jubilee. Amen.